now. Ready?
Yep.
Good morning to you all who are here and those listening beyond. I'd like to talk about Indiana de Yoima. Look at the calendar, see what's going on. And those are subjects that one likes to bring to this sort of share. So I thought to myself, what is Indiana de Yoima at the moment? Well, let me just repeat the timeline that we're all familiar with, but so that we're all on the same page. Let's just repeat the timeline of what happened at Mukunteira all the way up to the 120 days later. Of course, we all know Mukunteira was on the 6th of Sivan, and after that, when Klal Yisrael heard the voice of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. What did he do? He learnt the Torah, as people say that there was the best Talmud with the best teacher in the world. He learned for 40 days and 40 nights with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and learned Kol HaTorah Kula, Tosh B'Ksav, Tosh B'Alpeh. That's our tradition. Well, the idea was, the plan A was, that he should come down on Shivos Batamas with the first set of Luchos. I'm afraid that plan went slightly awry. And as we know, that was the day of the Egel, and so when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, he smashed the Luchos. Well, what happened after that? The next day, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain again. And all the psukim are very, very clear about what was going to happen. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam was, just to put it in my own language, furious with Klal Yisrael. Absolutely incandescent with fury against Klal Yisrael, to the point where the Rabbeinu Shel Olam intended to annihilate Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days and 40 nights davening for Esnapal Lifnei Hashem, that the Pasuk says, Esnapal Lifnei Hashem, Esaporim Yoim, Hayoim, Besaporim Haloilo, Asher Esnapolti, I threw myself down, Losh Nofal, threw myself down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, repeats it twice in the Pasuk, Ki Oma Hashem Lahashmin Eschem, because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam had intended to destroy Klal Yisrael, completely annihilate them. Remember, we're only talking about a few weeks after Mukunteira, and now we've got the Egel. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up. This is the second time he goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. What does he do there? And the Pasuk actually tells us what he did there. And we lined it yesterday, the day before yesterday, in Akev. These psukim were right there. And the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu made in order to turn the story around to save Klal Yisrael, we all know the basic ideas of that, which is Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, if you're going to annihilate Klal Yisrael, then I don't want anything to do with this project at all. Mecheli no mesifrecho, rub my name out. Because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted to start off Klal Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu again. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't having any of it. And instead, what he did was, he made all his efforts for 40 days, 40 nights for Esnapal. I threw myself down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davened for you. And he used certain arguments. Basically, there are four categories of argument that he used that we lined on Shabbos. And Ruchaim Friedlander expands on what they were and how he explained the psukim, the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu used to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, they are in short form, he says. Moshe Rabbeinu just tells us in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu talks to us in the Torah, and we are given the Roshi Prokim of the arguments. But remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening throughout the 40 days, and he offered up multitude of tefillahs. So Chaim Friedlander points out in Sifsei Chaim that Avada, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just say these four or five psukim over and over and over again. He put them in different ways, in variant forms, variations, but the theme is here. We have the theme. So what I want to do is go through this theme that we have in the psukim, and then we'll lead on to other things in Inyana de Yoima, because there's a special day coming up on Sunday and Monday. Meantime, Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going back a few years now, be precise, it's 3,337 years. This time of year, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the following. So, the first of the psukim is, that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people the story. Vespalel el Hashem v'oimah, Hashem elakim al tashches amcho. Do not destroy your people. Why? Amcho v'nachlascho asher podiso begodlecho. That is the first argument, which is the schus of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Let me explain. And this is all taken from the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, where Reb Chaim Friedlander explains and expands on it. Schus Yitzias Mitzrayim. What is the schus of Yitzias Mitzrayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's his part in this? Well, we know the story, of course, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But the objective of why the Rebbeinu Shem did what he did, all the Nisim and Flos, etc., and Kriyas Yamsov and everything, was in order to set out his stall, to pronounce himself to the world, so that all the world should know there is a Rebbeinu Shalom in the world, and that he's in control of everything, and that he owns everything, and he made everything. That's the idea. And there are certain psukim, if anybody's interested in the detail of that, I recommend the Ramban in Boy, Parshas Boy, a long Ramban, but he explains all of this. That the purpose of the Rebbeinu Shalom doing the Yetzias Mitzrayim story, and that's why he spun it out with 10 miracles, 10 nisim, etc., rather than doing it all in one shot, is in order that everybody should understand who the Rebbeinu Shalom is, what he's doing, and his power. Now, if Klal Yisrael are eliminated or annihilated because of their Avera, then what's going to happen? Yeah, there's going to be nothing left of that story. The Goyim won't tell it. They won't tell it. We are the witnesses to that story, still to the present day, right down to the present day. We enact the story every year, Pesach, we have 8 days, 8 months, etc., in order to remind ourselves and the world that there was such an event of Yetzias Mitzrayim and all that happened with it. And we spend the whole night talking about the nisim and the flaws of the Rebbeinu Shalom. We are keeping the story alive. And if we're not around because Klal Yisrael were annihilated, there will be no evidence, there will be no Adim, there'll be nobody to connect the story in this old book called the Bible and something. We are the living proof of this story. So Moshe Rabbeinu is tying to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You have a lot at stake here if you annihilate Klal Yisrael. You're going to lose all the effects and all the benefits that accrued to you during the Yetzias Mitzrayim story will be gone. So that's the first of his arguments that he puts forward. So let's move on. There's another argument that he puts forward. Asher Yetzias Mitzrayim. That means that is the argument of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Next. Zechor la'avodecha la'avrom li'yitzchok li'yakov. In short, we call that Schus Ovos. Now let me tell you what Schus Ovos means in the name of Rabbi Dessler. He explains Schus Ovos because we all think we know what it means, but in fact, the way he puts it is a completely different dimension for this idea. Schus Ovos, I always imagine, there are the Ovos, somewhere up in the sky, smiling down at us, beaming down at us, and because of their greatness, that's why we have certain benefits because of Schus Ovos. However, Podesta asks a question. It's strange, isn't it, that sometimes during our history, we had Schus Ovos. And sometimes in our history, we don't have any Schus Ovos. How is that possible? If we lose it, then it's gone. How can we regain it if we've lost it? So he explains Schus Ovos in the following way. Schus Ovos means that when Klal Yisrael connect themselves to the Midas of the Ovos, when we have still got a Shaychus, Mishtel Zachtzu, yeah, we connect ourselves to the Ovos and the way they behave, and their general demeanor, and how they conducted themselves in life, and how they became the Merkava Neshchina, etc., all the other aspects of the way they offer us, and we connect ourselves to those attributes, that's called Schus Ovos. Then the Ovos help us, because we are now connected to the Ovos, and therefore they help us in that way. As soon as we stop behaving like the Ovos, we go our own way, etc., in all the ways that throughout Tanakh we saw, then Schus Ovos stops. But it can restart again when we reconnect ourselves. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, look, you know, you've got two parts to Klal Yisrael. Can you read the Pasuk? Schor la'avodecha la'avrom Yitzchok Yaakov. So remember Avrom Yitzchok Yaakov, which we described as Schus Ovos, Klal Yisrael connect themselves very often. Sometimes they forget about that connection, but they connect themselves on frequent occasions. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Al tefen el kshia amazer." Don't turn to, let's put it this way, the bad side of Klal Yisrael, kshia amazer, the difficulties created by this. El Rishoy Bel Chatosai, to the wickedness of the people. In other words, Klal Yisroel is comprised not just of the people that you see in front of you. True, they did the Eiko, that is absolutely true. But we are connected to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's also another side of Klal Yisroel, which is a good side of Klal Yisroel. And there have been tzaddikim throughout the ages, down the ages, which meant that Klal Yisroel isn't just either wicked or either good. It's a mixture. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Baruch Shalom, don't just look at the wicked side of Klal Yisroel, look at the whole picture. And then you'll see the Overs and others and other tzaddikim who connect themselves to the Overs, and therefore Schus Overs will continue. So that is argument number two, that Moshe Rabbeinu brought, the Baruch Shalom, he shouldn't annihilate Klal Yisroel. So to speak, it's not quite fair in the sense that don't only look at the wicked side, look at the good side as well. We move on now to argument number three, which divides itself into two parts. This is called Chilul Hashem. Bonshom, there's going to be a mega Chilul Hashem if you do what you intend to do. Why? Because if you annihilate the Jewish people, then those people that are left in all the lands, and in Egypt especially, where you took them out, they'll say the following. We're facing Canaan, and we know how strong they are, we know the Rabbim story, etc. And they're a formidable enemy, and they'll say the Rabbi Shalom found that he'd come up against an enemy which he couldn't conquer. That's what they'll say. Now, despite all the miracles of Mitzrayim, etc., and all the power that they've seen, this is one that stopped them in their tracks, their nukes or whatever they had, and the Rabbi Shalom couldn't do it. Do you know what a Chilul Hashem that is? When the world says the Rabbi Shalom couldn't do it, and that's why he killed them, because he couldn't bring them into Eretz Canaan. Now, they'll know that the reason was there was an Egel and a tremendous Chet, but they won't say that. They'll always say the other story. We know that very too well in our day and age, how everything is twisted. So they'll say the Rabbi Shalom couldn't do it. That's what they'll say. And Rabbi Shalom, you're facing a rather large Chilul Hashem. Now this has another part to this pasuk. The pasuk doesn't end quite there. There's a very, very strange few words which we'll try and explain. Umisinosoi oisom, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated them, so Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that the Goyim will say that the Rabbi Sharonim was a greater anti-Semit, and Misinosoisom, he hated them, Klal Yisroel. So this plot was to take them out, to extract them from Mitzrayim, take them into a secluded place, into the desert, and kill them, because he hates Jews. Associated impossible, not my words. And that's an amazing thing. But we do see that people will say that and will say anything. I just remind you, those of us who are old enough to remember the destruction of the Twin Towers in, I think, 2001, I think it was. And so it was quite clear, we knew who the pilots were of those aircraft, we knew who backed it, who financed it, they know the names and dates, they know everything there is to know about the perpetrators of the Twin Towers destruction. And yet, many, many people say, it's the Jews. The Jews caused it. And isn't it funny that none of the Jews turned up for work in the Twin Towers? There are lots of Yidden, there are lots of offices in the Twin Towers. There were, because there were financial houses, and insurance companies, and accounting companies, etc., financial companies, etc., lots of Yidden working in those towers. That day, the Jews didn't turn up, because they all knew it was going to be destroyed. It's nonsense. Many, many Jews died in that conflagration. It was terrible. But it won't stop them saying it. That's the point Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Everyone knows that Moshe loves the Yidden, about the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, etc. But it won't stop them saying the big lie, that it's because of his hatred of the Jews, that's why he killed them. So these are the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu used during this time, ending up on Shabbos night, at the end of that process, and then we have, in fact, Sunday, because Sunday is the 30th day of Av, and then we start a new parasha on Monday, which is the 1st of Elul. Okay? And so what we'll do is, in Inyono Dioima, we will move on to the next part of looking at this particular period of time. So what happened on the 1st of Elul? So we come to the end of this, and by the way, during that time, the Rabbi Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu a special tefillah during this time where he was davening during the 40 days, that is the interregnum 40 days, the middle 40 days, that he was davening 40 days and 40 nights, Esnachal, when he threw himself. And Boris said, okay, all right, I'll give you something which you can use at all times, a special tefillah. We know them as the Yud Gimel Midas Shorachim, Hashem Hashem Kerachim Achanon, which we say over and over again during the Aseret Metshuva and at other times. Some people say it every day in Tachanun. So that tefillah is very, very special, has a very special place, because the Baruch Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, in the words of the Gemara, that when Klal Yisrael are but sorrow, when they're in trouble, they've done something, and they've got themselves into deep trouble, then they should utter this tefillah, and they'll Eina Chazeres Reikom, they'll never go away empty-handed. Now, the problem may still be there, but it'll be mitigated somewhat. There'll always be an effect of that tefillah. Klal Yisrael say this tefillah, and it's a special formula that has been our salvation, that we could say throughout the ages, when times got hard, that we uttered this tefillah. So Moshe Rabbeinu came back with something, if I may put it this way, tangible. He came back with something, an actual tool, by which Klal Yisrael can save themselves under all circumstances. And that brings us to Sunday night, where Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain again, and he comes back with the good news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to annihilate Klal Yisrael. And now, where are we in our timeline? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu then goes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he goes up for another 40 days and 40 nights, and that's what I want to discuss. And in Pirkei Rabbeinu, Pirkei Rabbeinu is something very similar to Pirkei Avos, put together by Rabbi Eliezer Agogel, there's one author. Tanya b'Pirkei Rabbeinu, b'Rosh Chodesh Elul, Omla HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Alei Eilai HaHorom. Go up to the mountain, he says, come to me to the mountain, and we know it's L'Kabel Luchois Shnios. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to repeat the process that he gave after the beginning of Sivan, to go up, to learn the Torah, and to receive Luchois HaKadosh. But this time, when you go up the mountain, Heviru Shoifa Bamachne, you blow a shoifa, which is exactly what we're going to do. Why? Because let's recap the first occasion, the first 40 days. What happened? And we all know the story. I'm recapping it so that we're all on the same page. The first 40 days, they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come down after 40 days. And they counted 40 days, or they thought they had, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down the mountain. And so, therefore, one thing led to the other, and they made the egel, because they thought Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming back. So in other words, they made an error in the counting of the days. So in order to prevent that happening again, a shofar was sounded on the day Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, so that the day count should be exact, and everybody would have the same count, so they should lo yitu oid achre avoida zora. So don't come to make the same mistake again, and at the end of the 40 days worship avoida zora again, chas v'sholom. So in other words, they should not repeat their mistake, so therefore the shofar was sounded. Okay. We're also told by Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nis'ale with the shofar. As we say this seven times in Mizmor, in the Mizmor of Korach, just before Tekiyas Shofar, we say, Olo Elokim b'Sruah Hashem b'Kor Shofar. Olo Elokim, the Ribono Shel Olam sort of does an ascendancy, he goes up in some way. So in other words, because they sounded the Shofar, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, back then in the Midbar, so Chazal instituted the blowing of the Shofar throughout Elul. Now there are some discrepancies which we'll discuss. So the Rosh adds, why the whole month? I mean, they did it just once then. Why do we have to do it the whole month? And the Rosh says, we're not on the Madrega of Klal Yisrael. And for them, they could have one particular blowing of the shofar, and they would be reminded of whatever they needed to be reminded of. But we need the continuous reminder on a daily basis. And we know the shofar has a special effect, and that's why the Torah has mandated the shofar Rosh Hashanah. That's why Chazal instituted the shofar during the whole of Elul. In Yiskar shofar be'ir v'omlo yechrodu, there's this pasuk, famous pasuk in Omlus, that says that shofar is sounded, and that creates a tresel in Yiddish. Yeah, it creates some sort of shock in a person, and it arouses the emotion that a person is involved in. He used it in battle as well, so it should arouse the aggression, etc. the emotion that a person is actually dealing with, the Schäufer will arouse that and promote it. So the minig is, in most places, in Ashkenaz, we blow the Schäufer Shachris. There are other places that blow it, Mincha and Maariv as well, yeah, throughout Elul. So the original purpose was to avoid a mistake. That was the original purpose of the Schäufer. So they asked the Kasha, and Taka, the Sibsa Chaim asked this Kasha, what's the connection with Elul? Because in Elul, our Schäufer is a Schäufer Shel Tshuva. Whereas back in the desert, when they blew the Schäufer in the Midbar, it wasn't a Schäufer Shel Tshuva. It was a Schäufer as a sort of siren. Yeah, it was a siren, so you should all know how to count these days, the 40 days, and not make any mistakes. It seemed to have nothing to do with Tshuva at all. So Chazal instituted the Schäufer for our Elul, and we know our Schäufer is a Schäufer Shel Tshuva. Yet the one in the desert had nothing to do with Tshuva at all. It was merely a siren, a signal that you should count properly. So how do we derive what we've got from a one-off event? Now, Chaim actually developed something which is interesting for us to know and to understand. He explains that the counting error that they made, when they miscounted the days, wasn't just an arithmetic error. Wasn't just that they couldn't count properly and got to the wrong day. There are different types of mistakes that a person makes. There are mistakes and mistakes. Some mistakes are genuine mistakes. Okay, one makes those. But there's another sort of mistake where the person is partly culpable. And of course the difference of that is we have in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, a shoyge is a mistake for which we have to bring a korban. A shoyeg is a certain mindlessness, a lack of concentration that today is Shabbos or this is a malacha, and we by mistake switch on a light and think, oi vai, right? Then we've got to bring a chatas, because it's mindless, it's lack of concentration on what we're meant to be doing. A real oinus, yeah, somebody sort of slips and bumps against a switch, that's an oinus, that's different. And they're not culpable at all. So we understand what that sort of mistake is. So he explains, actually, it's these are the words of Rabbi Yeruchim, Alevi, Mimir, yeah, that quotes Haroitze Litois Yite, that the Gemara says, and the Medrash says, that a person has a certain propensity to make a toss. If he has a certain connection with a mistake, he'll find a way of making it. He'll find a way that the toss is made. In other words, not all mistakes are real mistakes. For some reason or other, which I can't explain, Yidden at the time, or many Yidden at the time, presumably the Erev Rav, weren't so disappointed that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming back. Not so disappointed. And so they egged the people on to make this Egel. In other words, the mistake wasn't just an accounting error. He uses this word subconscious. Sometimes in our subconscious, we do things which we don't really want to do, if you ask me the question, but we do things because our subconscious wants it, and therefore we do it. They're not genuine mistakes. And in Taka, this actual loshen of Misha Aroitzer Litois Yita, that a person wants to make a mistake, let him make a mistake, comes from a very interesting source, which is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was to write down Nase Odom, Nase Odom, let us make man, us plural. And then forward, for Hashem explained that Rabbeinu Shloim, Alva Sanusoy, of the Rabbeinu Shloim, his modesty wanted to teach us something, a lesson, that no matter how exalted you are, no matter how clever you are, wise you are, etc., consult with other people and make sure that you know you show the right anivas. So Rabbeinu Shloim was demonstrating anivas by saying Nase Odom. However, the Malachim said, do you know what the Apokosim are going to do with this? They're going to say that there's a plurality up there. There's more than one, that's for sure. There's more than one out there. Nase Odom, plural. So to this, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Misha Roitze Litois Yitra. Let him make a mistake. A person who wants to make a mistake, he'll find a million ways of making a mistake. So, you know, if there's a chuka, if there's a sort of inclination to make that mistake, person will make a mistake. So in other words, not all mistakes are real errors. And therefore, similarly with the Egel, had they conscientiously looked at what the situation was, 40th day, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is delayed, maybe there are other reasons, had they conscientiously looked at the situation they were in, they wouldn't have rushed to make the A-girl. In other words, there was a certain feeling, that enthusiasm about it, that they wanted to do this. So in other words, this is the explanation of both why we blow the shofar. So in other words, it works out that what we've got is that the shofar in the Midbar wasn't just a signal, a siren. It was also a shofar shel tshuva. They needed to do tshuva on their enthusiasm for doing the egel. So in other words, we have got to the stage where Chazal instituted something as an echo of what happened in the Midbar. Now, we also said that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam moves because of the shofar, Ol Elokim B'Sruah Shem B'Kol Shofar. He actually changes his position in some way. What is this change of position? And Chazal tell us that Rabbeinu Shel Olam moves when he hears tshuva being done, and he sees tshuva being done, he moves over from the kisei of din, from midas hadin, and he moves over, and this is an aliyah of some sort, to midas harachmin. And the vehicle by which he does this is the tshuva. That's what happens. So therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu used once in Elul has now become something that we do on a regular basis. And we have one thing to deal with, one other thing that time allows that we can deal with, which is a question asked by Rabbi Dessler. We've just mentioned that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights. What did he go up for? And the answer is to learn the Torah. The kasha Rabbi Dessler has is he'd done it already. During the first 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu had learned Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Rabbeinu, Torah Yisrael, and everything it was. Yeah, why is he going up again for 40 days? What's he going to learn during 40 days and 40 nights with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? And he explains something I think we all need to know for the days that are coming, not to learn the Torah the way he had done it before. Because remember, that Torah, the way those luchos were, which is Ma'aseh Elokim, Rabbeinu Shel Olam made those luchos, and they were intended for a people who was absolutely sort of perfect. Yeah, without going into the details, we talked about this on other occasions, and others no doubt have repeated again and again. Klal Yisrael, standing at Har Sinai, were ka'odam arishon koidam achet. They'd got to that level. So those luchos that were made by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam were intended for that set of people. Well, now, in the meantime, we've done the egel, etc., and we've dropped a number of madrigas. And so now we need luchos which have a different format, a different form. And that's why the Torah says, Psalacho, you're now going to produce those luchos. So Moshe Rabbeinu took up the rocks, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, Ve'echtoiv, and I will write on them. I will be Makadish to make them into luchos. But we have a part in it. Moshe Rabbeinu, a human being, has a part in the second luchos. And that's terribly important and indicative, because this shines a light on what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing during the third set of 40 days, from Elul until Yom Kippur. So what was he doing? What he was doing is learning the Torah in a completely different way. Instead of learning the Torah in a way which would suit a people who are on a perfect height and a perfect madrega card and all that, he now has to learn the Torah which is suitable to be given to people that need a little help now and again. We do averus, and the Torah is going to help us survive those averus. And that's the new role of Torah. We are going to be Balei Tshuva. I'm not talking about BTs or anything like that. I'm talking about us Balei Tshuva, people who want to do Tshuva from the Averus that we've done. We all will hope to be Balei Tshuva during this particular time. And therefore, a Baal Tshuva cannot absorb the Torah in the regular way that was intended for the first set of 40 days. Moshe Ben has got to learn in a whole new way to teach people who haven't actually gone through an Avera process and a Tshuva process. That's what the Torah is going to do. And therefore, it's fundamentally different from the Luchos, Rishonos, and from the whole way, the spirit of what Moshe Rabbeinu has bring down. And he had to learn the whole of the Torah in this new way, explains Rabbi Dessler. So that's the idea of Luchos, Rishonos, Luchos, Shniois, a completely different form. And therefore, that is something that, of course, we aspire to. Luchos Rishonos, Kula Kodesh, Luchos Shniois had a different role. And so the second Luchos, having fallen from Madrega, are the ones now suited for us to take. Now, I just add one little thing, and sort of to round this off, that we are told, and this is a quotation from Eli Lapian, who explains that the whole process of becoming a Baal Tshuva, wanting to actually be different. What does it mean? Now, we know that Otto Marischen did tshuva. He sat for 120 years, did tshuva, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo was meichel. In fact, we have a quotation in the Slichas, if I can find it, that we say in Slichas, Shame, Shemachalto la Otto Marischen, kach timchoel lonu. We say in Slichas. So in other words, Otto Marischen had kapon. Rebbeinu Shlomo was meichel him. If Rebbeinu Shlomo was meichel him, Frey Trevelya, why didn't Moshe, why didn't Otto Marischen go back into Gan Eden? Good question. And he explains, had Otto Marischen gone back into Gan Eden, the whole thing would have repeated itself. You can't repeat what you were doing. You've got to do something new. If you want to do tshuva, you want to correct something that you feel you're lax on, whatever it might be, brachas or tefillah, whatever it might be, you can't just say, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do it better. You've got to institute certain things in your life which will, in a sense, force you to do the things that you want to do. Not an external force, your own force. You create things. Yeah, the Majid Rosh Yeshiva used to bring the example of a person who wants to get up for davening. And he's always late. Yeah, it was one of his pet subjects. The Majid Rosh used to talk a lot to the Bokharim, and I was Bokharim in Yeshiva, about getting up for davening. And some people perpetually came late. Quite a joke. The way the whole thing went on every morning, that the bedrooms were upstairs above the base of Medrash, and you could actually hear, if you're still in bed, you could actually hear the Baal Tefillah saying brachas. And you knew you had about 90 seconds to get dressed and get in the base of Medrash, because if you got in the base of Medrash before the end of brachas, he wouldn't take it up with you. If you came after brachas, he would give you quite a, right? That was the meaning. And people came in all sorts of forms of dress, etc., whatever they could get on in 90 seconds and get into the base of Medrash. That was the way it was. So, Manchester Shiva was very keen on people coming on time. He says, an alarm clock. Alarm clock doesn't work. Two alarm clocks. Five alarm clocks. Or get someone to wake you. His watchword was, Zuchen Eitzes. Find a way. If you had to catch a plane, you'd find a way to get up, wouldn't you? So find a way. You want to get up for Shacharis. Find a way by which it means this happens, this actually happens in your life. And so therefore, this is the idea, that when we want to correct ourselves in some way, we've got to find a way that suits us. In other words, it makes us do what we want to do in the first place. I wish you all a successful week, and a ksiva, a chasima, a tzedakah.
Amen.
No, it's
too
sweet.
Very
close.
I
don't
want
it.
It's too